This episode of Voices of the Elephant is brought to you by GitHub. Looking for an interesting open source project to contribute to or use? Go to github.com/explore to discover all kinds of fascinating and useful projects, and github.com/trending to see what's most popular in the open source community. If you'll be at Grace Hopper Conference in Phoenix, October 8th through 10th, come say hi at booth 108. We'd love to see you.
Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. I'm here in Philadelphia at Drupaladelphia, that's what it's called. Yeah, I always trip up on that. And my special guest is Yitzhak Willroth. Did I get that right?
Perfect.
Oh, awesome. Most of you might know him on Twitter as Code Rabbi. Just so happens that he is here at the conference today and has agreed to spend a little time talking with us about PHP and his involvement in the community. And let's lead off with that. You have just started, I think you've had one meeting, maybe two?
Two meetings.
Shore PHP. Mm-hmm. Talk to us a little bit about why you started it, and then a little bit about what you've learned in starting a user group.
Okay. I started it because you told me to, Cal. I'm an avid attendee to Nomad PHP, and as other attendees probably know, that you start every episode by recognizing the user group organizers mm-hmm. who are in the listenership and suggesting that if people don't have a local user group, that then they need to start one. And surprisingly, the Central Jersey area is just far enough away from Philadelphia and New York that to make it inconvenient, mm-hmm. but just close enough that it seems people, well, we've got, well, we could go to New York if we wanted, we could go to Philadelphia if we wanted, and there's not much there. There are a lot of meetups that are technology, mm-hmm. because then there's crossover with marketers and product people and businesses, but actual tech-first, language-oriented meetups, there really aren't many. So PHP was not unique in that sense, but that's the one that hurt the most, hit closest to home for me. So I said, why not? I'll give it a shot. I had just come back from PHP Tech mm-hmm. and was kind of riding that high and said, you know, I'll give this a shot. You know, I've made some connections both via conferences and through Twitter. So I've got who I could twist their arm to speak. Let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And it happens to be there is a co-working space about 20 minutes closer to New York City than I am that offers a free meeting space for meetup groups.
Nice.
So we had the space. I had the speakers. It's $12 a month to try it out on meetup.com and see what happens.
Yeah.
And we had 50 signups within the first 2 weeks.
Wow.
The first meeting we had, Brandon Savage made it his last stop on the Crafting Code Tour. Mm-hmm. And we had, I think, 17 people show up for the first meetup. And it was fantastic.
That's yeah. excellent.
Yeah.
I want to stop here sure. and give a shout out to both Brandon for organizing the Crafting Code Tour, because that was very unique.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was fantastic idea.
I got to participate in three cities, and it was phenomenal. But also to thank Code Climate, because they yeah. picked up the tab for a good chunk
That's
of
right.
that, and they're brand new into the community, and to come into the community and support us like that, that was
fantastic,
phenomenal for them.
Fantastic.
So I want to say a thank you to you guys. I work in the Nashville PHP user group, and I won't say I run it because I far from it. They allow me to participate in the management team.
You're the tail that wags the dog.
Basically, but so I know a little bit about user group management and things like that. Tell me, what was probably the most surprising thing that you learned, or the most important thing that you learned in organizing a PHP user group?
That not everyone is just like me in terms of what they want from the user group.
Okay.
I started the user group really for myself. I would occasionally come to Philadelphia. I would occasionally come to New York City. Those are both about 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. So it had to be, you know, the right speaker speaking on the right topic at the right time for me to go. And that wasn't frequent enough to satisfy my appetite. And then if it was a near miss, wow, I killed the whole night. I drove 90 minutes each way for a 60-minute talk, which I mean, I could have caught online for the same price. So I started for myself. Mm-hmm. But our users span the gamut from, I've never coded a line in my life, but you know, I really think I want to start trying that. Mm-hmm. Like you might join a yarn club, a knitting club. So we have that. And here we have Brandon Savage talking about solid principles and the seven deadly sins of object-oriented programming. It wasn't, you know, wasn't necessarily right for that end of the spectrum. And on the other end, we've got two very prolific core contributors to Drupal as part of our group as well.
Who's that?
Peter Wolanin and Sean Walsh.
Oh, excellent.
They're both here, actually.
Cool. Okay, well, yeah, you're right, and I have that same experience in Nashville. We have a group that spans a great range of talent or experience, not necessarily talent, but experience. How do you try to service all those needs?
So, beginning this month, we will have a 30-minute skills lab at the beginning of each meeting. Our initial format was a pretty traditional speaker and networking format. Mm-hmm. The whole idea, and what I tell people as I introduce SurePHP to them, is that I wanted to leverage my connections with the greater PHP community through Twitter, through conference attendance, and our geographic proximity to New York and Philadelphia to bring conference-level speakers from the national community to the local community.
Excellent.
But again, that fits for some people, it doesn't fit necessarily for others. That mission statement isn't really one size fits all. Mm-hmm. So in addition to the speaker social format, this skills lab idea would be that as an optional 30 minutes prior to the speaker, we're starting this month with a composer workshop. Composer, something that you can cover in 30 minutes.
Yep.
And Brandon at the first meeting asked for a show of hands of these 17 people how many had used Composer. And I think counting he and I, there were seven of us.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the ABCs right now in PHP.
It really is.
So we're beginning with that, and we'll see how it goes. You know, we might switch that off to a different night and a longer time period if that's necessary and kind of break off the newcomers. But yep. For now, we're hoping to be able to service everybody within a two-hour, two-and-a-half-hour time slot.
That's phenomenal. You mentioned Nomad PHP, and we're lucky in that because we're virtual, we can tailor it to just the people, what the people want that attend. And we did a survey back in May and found out that 80% of the people that attend on a regular basis are 5 years plus experience.
Okay.
And so that's why, you know, we're lucky in that we can simply say we're going to focus on the heavy tech. We don't do much in the way of beginner talks. And while that's fun, because I get to learn, and I started Nomad for a similar reason. I wanted all my friends that I saw at conferences I wanted to hear them, even though I couldn't go to the conference. But you know, the community person in me says that we need to be doing something to start bringing people up the ranks as far as experience goes. And so we're starting to look around at some of the things that we can do as well. But I'm excited, always excited, when I talk to a user group leader and they say, well, we're starting something like your lab. And PHP group in Orlando has code katas once a quarter or something like that.
That's
you know, they do things like that, and it's just exciting. Let's move on to the next topic.
Okay.
You're a freelancer and quite successful freelancer, and you're still doing it, so that means you're successful, because most of us
that's a fair description.
Most of us who try it and can't do it go back to
freelancer.
A job. So you're an active freelancer. But you did something interesting on Twitter a month or so ago.
Yeah.
You posted 10 tips for freelancing, and then I think you put them into a Storify something like that. And I'll throw a link to that in the show notes. I found it fascinating, because I've always enjoyed doing freelance work, even if I had a full-time job. But I'm always interested in getting advice and insight from people that are doing this. But what I want to ask you about that is that specific time when you did the tweets. What was the reaction that you got? Did you get a lot of positive or negative feedback? Did you get any feedback at all?
I had a tremendous amount of feedback. I was shocked. Hmm. I threw it out there kind of on a lark. It came tangential to a conversation on Twitter that had happened the day before, where someone asked me, how in the world do you stay in business if you don't have a website? I said, I don't have a website, I don't have business cards, I don't have brochures, and I haven't had a workless day in 4 years.
Wow.
So how do you do that? You should write a book. So I didn't really feel that I had an ebook in me. But it kind of, you know, got my rankles up being challenged like that. And I said, you know what? There are some things that I do, and maybe other people don't do this. So let me throw it out there and see what happens. And I think the Storify had 1,000 hits, wow. And that's not to mention the people that saw it on Twitter and the retweets and the follows and what have you. But that first weekend, I did it on a Friday. I dripped it over, you know, like an 8-hour period. Mm-hmm. And I think Sunday when I looked again, we had 1,000 hits at the Storify. And almost universally positive feedback.
Great.
The only non-positive, and this wasn't even negative feedback, but the non-positive, there was a misconception. People hear, oh, freelancing advice, and they think that these are going to be 10 tips to get more business, uh-huh. and or where to find business. And that really wasn't the issue for me. When I began freelancing, I knew that I wanted the freedom of a freelance lifestyle, but that I was, in terms of discipline, probably the absolute wrongest person in the world to become a freelancer. That if I didn't have work today, even though logically I knew I should still be working the business, I knew I wouldn't. Mm. So I knew I needed work every day, mm-hmm. even if it was a few hours of work, and even if it was garbage work, if it got me sitting down at the machine, because I was getting paid, then I'd do the right thing and submit proposals and, you know, market myself online, social media, et cetera. I'd put the time in once you got me sitting down. But if I wasn't getting paid that day, I would probably never walk into the study and fire up the PC. So the tips for me were, how can I make sure that I have consistent business? And at the beginning, it wasn't a lot of business, but it was consistent. Mm-hmm. And then over time, then how can I have consistent business? And a lot of business becomes the next challenge. So the tips really were to smooth out the peaks and valleys of a freelancing a workload.
Yeah. It was a phenomenal idea. And to me, one of the things, I mean, I've worked in a marketing department for most of the past 8 or 10 years as a developer advocate for different companies and as a chief marketing officer at one time. I don't consider myself a marketer. I'm a developer who one day woke up and found himself in marketing. So from the marketing standpoint, looking at it just that, the 10 tips, yes, they helped me tremendously personally, but marketing your brand, the Code Rabbi brand, and you started setting up or building your authority as an expert now on freelancing, in addition to an expert right. on development and website development. So I thought it was a stroke of genius, and was really appreciative not only that you did it, but that you said you showed me that this is something that might work. And I'm kind of looking for my 10 tips moment when I can come up with something.
I hear.
I just don't have 10
See,
things.
I'm a marketer that became a web developer. I actually, web development is my third career.
Oh.
I began right out of college in marketing mm-hmm. and worked Fortune 500. I was the director of aftermarket sales for a Fortune 500 company here in the Philadelphia area. And woke up one day and realized that I was spiritually impoverished. And quit my job and found myself in Jerusalem at a Talmudic academy. And I was there a year and then over a decade of rabbinical school in Lakewood, New Jersey. That was my second career. And then I woke up and realized that I was financially impoverished. And I've had a computer, I think, since my 10th birthday and dabbled. And so it was a natural thing. But the marketing by me came first. Ah. The development came later.
I still consider myself an amateur marketer, even though I do a lot of it and thoroughly enjoy it. So, you know, like I said, I'm always looking for these mm-hmm. little things, and that seemed to have worked very good for you.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap it up. Ask you the two questions I ask everybody. What's your local user group? We've already covered that, but you go ahead and mention it again. And what's the URL?
ShorePHP,
mm-hmm.
shorePHP.org.
Okay, and you're ShorePHP on Twitter as well.
I am.
Okay. I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us, because I like being able to share success stories in the community with the community, or with the five people that listen to my podcast. Hi, Mom. But I also want to thank you for what you're doing for the PHP community, because we were talking a little bit earlier. We have a lot of people that are just a part of the PHP community. You're an active part. You've taken that leap to the next step, and you bring a very unique perspective to the community. So thank you for everything that you are doing to help us build the PHP community.
That's been as self-serving and as rewarding as ShorePHP. I'm active there for the same reason I started ShorePHP, is because I get more back than I give.
Mm-hmm.
And the more I give, it seems the more that I get back. Mm-hmm. And just like I knew about myself that I wouldn't work today if I didn't have work, so too, I'm not a real good community member unless I'm a real active community member. I don't get much out of the relationships unless I'm really pouring myself into it. Mm-hmm. So it's been better than a win-win. I think I'm more the recipient than I am the giver.
Well, I've seen you invest time in answering questions and things, just on the Twitter interactions I've seen in specific people. And I liked seeing community members, because I talk to everybody about the PHP community. I say we are a very pay it forward community. We're standing on the shoulders of giants.
Mm-hmm.
For me to pay back the debt that I owe the core developers for the fantastic career that I have, it's my job to help others.
Yep.
And so
yep.
I always appreciate it when other people step up and are helping others as well. So thank you so much for everything that you do for the PHP community.
You too, Cal. I've had good role models.
Thank you. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.